RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from July 1940. The Phantom and the Vampire Murders. The 89th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Phantom and the Vampire Murders. Chapter 1. The First to Die. It was a pitch-black night, with the late October wind wailing thinly through the towering pines that encircled a sprawling rustic lodge perched on the lower slope of grim, glowering Vampire Mountain. The temperature was falling, driven lower by the wind, and there was a rime of frost on the dead leaves that were whirled through the air by the gale. Silent figures moved through the blackness of the night. Haunters of the pine gloom padded noiselessly on their nocturnal quests for food. Food obtained only by sudden death. A lynx slipped out of a grove of trees to the north of the lodge and stood motionless for an instant, eyeing the darkened cabin with lambent eyes. A drift of pine smoke from a dying fire came to the big cat's nostrils, and the lynx switched its bobtail nervously. Then the cat turned and headed back into the brush. Its belly was tightened in a knot of hunger, but the scent of its dread enemy, man, was enough to turn the beast away from its trail, back into the night to find a new victim. The lodge slept on under the whipping, moaning pines. Then there was the sound of crackling brush, as a body moved recklessly through the darkness. No animal this. It was a man who hurried toward the darkened cabin, stumbling over the rocks and brushing aside the branches that blocked a narrow path that led to the lodge. Pausing at the edge of the clearing, the man looked up at the lodge, his breath coming in whistling gasps. He was a relatively young man with a narrow, aquiline-nosed face. He was dressed in expensive hunting clothes, which plainly showed that he had made a hard journey through the darkened brush. There were numerous rips and tears in the fine lumber jacket he wore. The knees of his breeches were muddied, as though he had fallen several times. His hunting boots were scuffed. Briar scratches crisscrossed the flesh of his hands and face. As the young man stood at the edge of the clearing, his chest heaving while he fought to regain his breath, a circle of light showed through the trees behind him. The man turned, made a half start toward the lodge, and then turned back to stare into the advancing light. Footsteps crunched heavily on loose gravel, and a second man joined the first, an older man, broader of shoulder and fuller of figure. He too wore expensive hunting clothes, but his garb showed none of the mute evidence of a rough trip through the brush. His hunting cap was in place. His mackinaw was securely buttoned and, aside from a briar scratch or two on the hand that held the flashlight, he was unmarked. The second man was breathing easily as he came up beside the panting figure of the younger man. "Arnold," he said, "stop and think of what you're doing before you go dashing madly into that lodge with your crazy story."
"Crazy story, nothing," the younger man retorted. "They've got to be warned. It would be murder to keep quiet about what..."